You know, I have a lot of liberal friends, Tim Versalotti, who tell me there's no way, no way at all that Obama could lose this election. And I keep looking at him and saying, what, are you out of your mind? He could lose this election. And it's going to be a very tight election. It's the upper 1% versus folks at the bottom who traditionally don't turn out, lots of money, super PACs. And lurking in the background, something that I have been saying all along, and that is there's a certain amount of racism in this country that I hear and that I perceive.
No arguments. You look at the kinds of issues that President Obama has to deal with, even this far into his presidency, in terms of perceptions that he wasn't born in the United States, perception that he is Muslim instead of Christian, and the perception that being Muslim would be a terrible thing in this country. And no other president has dealt with that stuff this far into a presidency. And you do have to wonder where it springs from. The sort of otherness of the Obama candidacy certainly brings that out and gives folks cover to raise questions that mask views that are not very palatable in American politics. On top of that, President Obama kicked off his campaign officially in Ohio on May 5th, the day before terrible job numbers from the Bureau of Labor Statistics for the month of April, far below what analysts had even expected. The unemployment rate ticks down 0.1% to 8.1% only because more people are giving up looking for work. This is a steep hill for an incumbent. What helps him is he is still personally popular. He's likable, and that may be what helps him in what I agree is going to be, is already a tight race if you look at national polling, but it's going to be a tight race in some of the swing states as well.
So, you know, if you're Obama strategist, the name of the game is to get everybody out, isn't it? They didn't
sure
come out.
Is.
They sure didn't come out 2 years ago in the congressional elections.
That's right. That's right. And especially young voters who were so important to Obama in 08. And you see the choice of issues that they're picking. Obama took on the Republicans in Congress over renewing a federal student loan program that keeps interest rates on those loans low at about 3%.
It was a brilliant gambit, and of course it was so brilliant that the next moment out comes Romney and says, me too, I'm for that also.
Exactly.
Even though it's his party that's going to screw it up.
That's right. And it gave Obama a tailor-made issue that he took to college campuses around the country, including in swing states like Colorado and North Carolina. And you and I, both having worked with young people in college classrooms, know...
You can't get them out.
You can't get them out unless they have self-interest, unless they see some reason. And they don't have the same self-interest that older voters do, owning a home, paying taxes, all the things that come with being a connected person in society. But you talk to them about student loans, and their eyes light up. And so Obama was very clever in that regard.
He's a student of metrics.
He absolutely, and he's got a shrewd campaign staff as well who've been looking at the electorate and seeing who do we need to fire up, who didn't show up in 2010, and young people are such an important demographic for them.
Now, Europe just did an interesting thing. Sarkozy, goodbye. The Greeks threw out their austerity two major parties. And I'm trying to think of how that might affect our presidential election, because Obama has been playing it, you know, sort of center right. And maybe there's a message here.
I think the message, if the Obama administration wanted to pivot, and you have to be really careful, on the Republican side, calling someone European is a real diss. I remember when John Kerry was running for the presidency in 2004, there was this Times magazine profile where they were in a hotel suite interviewing John Kerry, and a campaign aide brought an Evian, bottled water, and Kerry pushed it away. Oh my goodness, you know, you can't be seen as European.
Oh,
but the issue of austerity is crucial. That's the Paul Ryan budget, the budget proposal introduced by the representative from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And what we see a couple of things. Spain and Great Britain, having followed austerity approaches, are slipping back into recession.
Ireland, terrible.
This great debate over Keynesian economics, do you spend to stimulate the economy or do you cut back and live within your means? The experience from Europe is suggesting that the austerity approach hasn't worked.
And Krugman and, as you say, Keynes, although long dead, argue for pumping money into it to get it going again.
That's right. That's right. And so the Republican Party, to the extent that it has adopted this austerity approach, is probably thinking we need to hit on other jets here, because we see that the counter argument is, well, look, austerity is not exactly putting countries back on a path to prosperity here. And so I think that is the takeaway that Democrats might take from the elections in France and Greece. They can't do it too overtly, because the Republican theme is, oh, they're arguing for a European socialist state, and you don't want to wed yourself as a Democrat too closely to that argument. Instead, you argue the austerity theme.
Tim Versalotti, I guess the other thing everybody's looking at over in your backyard there, and actually across the country, is Warren versus Brown. What can you tell us?
We last polled in late February, early March. We're going to go back into the field in a couple of weeks to see what has changed. So much has changed in the race since our last poll in terms of campaign fundraising, in terms of the issues that the candidates are following right now. And it is the silly season right now, where we're seeing, for example, Senator Brown, one of his campaign donations came from the president of the New York Yankees, Randy Levine. And so that was a 1 or 2 day story. What has emerged as a much longer story is Elizabeth Warren's claim of Native American ethnicity and what that may or may not have meant in her career as a law professor. That story has had legs for about a week now, and it hasn't gone away. And so the issue there is the Warren campaign's response to it. They seem to be caught off guard. It began as a story in the Boston Herald, where Harvard had claimed that Professor Warren, as a tenured faculty member in the law school, provided not just gender diversity, but ethnic diversity in terms of her Native American heritage. But it turns out she's 1/32nd Native American, and it begged the issue of, well, did she trade on this identity to advance her career? At the universities where she has taught, she's been at 4 different law schools. Folks at each of those universities have said, absolutely not. It was her scholarship, it was her excellent teaching evaluations that prompted them to recruit her, hire her, in the case of Harvard, tenure her. Yet this has dominated the discourse in the Senate race.
Which goes to show, when you conservatives own a newspaper, how much trouble they can make.
They can make a lot of trouble.
So if Levine of the Yankees gave money to Brown, then the fact that the president of the Red Sox is supporting Warren has got to be more helpful in Massachusetts, don't you think? I mean, the Yankees are hated.
The Yankees are hated, for sure. But there's still some crankiness over how the Red Sox finished the season last year, and they're in last place right now. So I'm not sure that the ownership of the Red Sox are viewed as favorably as they normally would be. So
nevertheless, the point is that the Yankees are supporting Brown. And, you know, we who are Red Sox fans, we love them whether they're last or first.
Yeah, it's true, although there has been some second-guessing of the front office lately. So this is a hard one to score, Alan.
Not for me. Okay, so Tim Versalotti, when we come back again, let's start with Warren and Brown, okay?
Sure.